Hello, fellow ringleaders. We just wanted to let you know that this episode is all talking about the birds and the bees. So if you have little ears around that you may not want to hear certain subject material, you may want to put your earbuds in or listen to this episode when you are by yourself. But, you know, that's entirely up to you. But we just wanted to let you know. And thank you for listening to the Clown Car.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus!
Welcome to the Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a dad
and a mom
Never. It's not true.
It's
get it
true.
Every once in a while. Well, we talk what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
Oh, it's me. I couldn't find my...
Never.
In our two-sentence...
Never.
In our two-sentence opener, I couldn't find my spot. We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are for kids. So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and with me, my beautiful, sick wife, Crystal
Yay.
Ricks. You're still sick, honey.
I know. It's just never going to go away.
Never. It's been like 2 weeks now.
I know.
You're going to die on it. So we're going to try to make this a relatively shorter episode so Crystal doesn't have to talk that much because... when she talks a lot, her voice dries up, and then she starts hacking. So hot.
Mm.
So let's talk about our crazy circus.
Let's do.
It's time for the stories of the week.
So most of the week was you being sick and
all of the week,
and having to still take care of the littles at home while you're sick. And
yeah, being a sick mom is the worst. Worse than having sick kids or a sick spouse.
A sick spouse?
Yes. Like when you're sick, it's not as bad as me being sick.
Well, it just sounded like you said sick spouse. Oh, like a sick spouse.
No, thank
you. Like you have sick spouses.
No. You barely handle one.
Well, tell us about, do you have any stories to share with us? Or were you just sitting around being sick all day?
Yes, my story is I was miserable.
Yay.
And I am so sick of watching kids shows. Because
what?
I can't
You're sick of watching Jake and the Neverland Pirates?
Oh my goodness. Well, that one's pretty cute.
Jake
at least it was
and
catchy
the Neverland
songs.
Pirates.
But it's like, my kids are just old enough, or at least Lacey is. She's 4. And so I can't watch what I want to watch. Not that I'm watching some racy, rated R thing. But...
I know, but you can't even watch like Disney, like tweeny shows that are more enjoyable for adults, but... a 4-year-old doesn't get that. The 4-year-old just wants to watch cartoons.
Jake. Yeah. So basically, Jake and the Neverland Pirates was the alter parent.
Constantly this whole week.
Yeah, I know. They watched like the entire season this week. The new season that just got put on Netflix.
Yeah.
I think we're done already.
No. I don't think because they went back and rewatched a bunch. I think there's a couple we haven't
seen yet.
We
watched some movies and some Power Rangers and it just... it was just... But you know what? This week I don't feel guilty.
Be like...
because I feel like garbage.
I'm garbage and your kids are just gonna have to deal with it.
I know, and I had a play date with a friend set up. I set it up like a week ago because I thought I'd be over it.
It's time for the stories of the week!
I thought it'd be great, and then the day came, and I still felt horrible, and so I ended up texting her saying, I'm sorry, my throat's sore and I just can't do it, and she ended up bringing me a hot chocolate from Starbucks.
Yeah,
so it was good.
That's nice.
And then, so I posted on Facebook how grateful I was to have good friends that take care of me when I'm sick. And like 10 minutes after I posted that, I had someone text me saying, hey, we're bringing you dinner. And so I was like, I should have been complaining about being sick this whole time.
I
got one meal out of it.
Tomorrow you should jump back on Facebook. Oh,
man,
the weekend was so awful. I'm puking everywhere. And I can't take care of myself.
Birds' heads are falling off.
That's right.
I don't know why you reminded me of that. But, so it was just funny. Like, that's the upside of Facebook. I can let people know that they need to take care of me.
Take care of me. Pamper me.
I know. Which is better job than you were doing. Because this week, randomly, twice at night, you text me during the day and you're like, sorry, but I have to go to something after work. Like, for work. It wasn't like bowling night.
It's not true. I had told you the day before, at least.
One of them you reminded me. No, one of them was the day of.
I just reminded you, though.
But it was like, really? The 1 week that I am sick, you just happen to have two extra things that you couldn't. Because the one day I even said, will you make dinner tonight? That's all I want. And then you text me and you're like, I'm so sorry. And that's actually the night that the people brought pizza. So they were totally in tune with the universe and brought me dinner.
Yeah, but when she says make dinner, I mean, it was just going to be hot dogs. So it's not like it required a lot of me.
I know. Really, I could have fried up some hot dogs, but I'm a big wuss. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I still love you, wuss.
But it was nice. Facebook. Complain.
Complain.
It gets you some free stuff.
Rightfully complain, though. Don't complain for, like, no reason.
Yeah. And then, so, like I said, I've been feeling crummy all week. And Friday rolls around, and I realize there's this huge church event for women going on in Lubbock that we talk about that's 2 hours away on Saturday. And it finally hit me, like, I am not well enough to go to this event. And I was devastated because I've been looking forward to it. And then by the end of the day, and I had all the kids with me, and they're all crawling on me and, you know, standing on my head while I'm trying to lay down. And I was like, forget it! I am going to Lubbock! I don't even care! So
you went.
I did have my friend say she didn't really want me to sit in the front seat.
You're sick. I don't want you near me.
Stick me in the back where I can hack on your window.
That's right.
But so I ended up going. It was good, although I'm feeling it today. It knocked me out for the day. Yeah. I was kind of pathetic today.
That's okay.
More than usual.
I still love you.
Thanks.
But that allowed me to have some extra free time with the kids, just me. And so our oldest, he's 8. We were able to sit down and have some. He's been asking me all week too to play a video game with him. And so we finally were able to sit down while you were in Texas and play our video game, played a couple rounds and had a good time and had male bonding moments.
You know what's crazy? Is our whole marriage, you've always said, like, I can't wait for our kids to be old enough where I actually enjoy, or they enjoy doing the same things I do. And you've arrived, buddy.
I know.
How does it feel?
It's awesome. Had fun playing games. Can't complain.
Was it really fun, or was it? Because usually you don't handle playing video games
no,
well.
No. There's certain games that I don't handle well. Like a cooperative game where you're relying on the other person to do something.
Or to not die.
Or to not do something. Those are the ones I can't stand playing.
You get so mad. You're like, just follow me.
I'm like, just do it already. And I'm like, I want to get past the board. But no, games that are more competitive in nature, where we're versing each other, those are enjoyable, which we played. That's the game he wanted to play, is a game where we battle each other. And so that's fun because I can just be like, I'm gonna kick your booty.
Oh, what a sweet bonding time.
No, he actually does really well in that game too. But, you know, those games are more enjoyable.
I know, but we're in the moment that we've talked about our whole marriage.
I know.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's awesome. Just imagine in a few more years, he'll be old enough to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's what I look forward to.
if he's like that.
So, I remember, am his father.
I remember we had this discussion when we were first married, and Barry was like, I can't wait to teach my kids how to play like Dungeons and Dragons and teach them how to sword fight. And I'm like, no. You can have our boys, but I get our girls. Like, you can geek up our boys, but I get the girls.
But yet our oldest girl loves playing games.
I know. She's sweet. But you've pretty much nerded me up, too.
I have. But I converted you to the nerd side.
I'm not that bad.
But the kids were actually very helpful while you were gone and helped me clean the house. And so I even had our oldest clean the bathroom by himself. And he did a fantastic job, too. And so I gave him $1 for, like, you know, chore money. So, and he was pretty excited about that.
It was.
So, yeah.
Made me think we need to start
doing chores.
I mean, we do chores, but we don't, like, pay them or anything.
They don't get an allowance.
Yeah, I think now we need to start talking about that.
Giving them an allowance if they do stuff.
Yeah, and it was nice because he got a dollar and...
And he already wanted to spend it.
Well, but what I was saying is to him, that dollar was like, he might as well have given him $100. Yeah. He's like, I got a dollar. So I'm thinking, you know, we can really afford this.
Yeah.
At this age, like if they want a dollar maybe a week,
we could do that. Yeah.
I can do that.
We could totally do that.
So I don't know. We'll talk about it. So, if you guys have any good tour setups, let us know. And don't send us Pinterest leaks. I hate those. People are crazy with tour charts.
Yeah, I know.
It's like this... I just want to
scribble something on the whiteboard.
I know. Just stick a sticker on a piece of paper and call it good.
So, did you do anything else? Anything else good happen?
Let's see.
Because I got a couple other things I could talk about.
I have a couple things. There was one moment this week. The one moment where I was like, I'm still a good mom while I was sick.
Okay.
Is we were having dinner and then you left to go... I think you went to go to the bathroom. Sorry, I'm saying that on there, but...
I went to the bathroom? What? I do that?
You left for the bathroom, and the kids and I were still sitting at the table, and I don't know, we must have had, like, cereal for dinner or something, because we all had spoons for some reason. I don't remember why we have spoons, but anyway, and it just turned into...
No, we had ice cream.
Oh, that's even better than cereal for dinner.
No, we didn't have it for dinner.
We had the little cups.
We had it for dessert.
No, I wasn't saying that. Anyway, and somehow it turned into a spoon on your nose contest where you hang the spoon. But we turned it into, we'd hang the spoon on our nose and then we'd stare at each other. And the first one to laugh and make the spoon fall off lost the game. We are really competitive.
We are very competitive.
I even turned that into a competition.
Even in the good mom moment, it's like, I'm going to beat you.
And so, but it was fun because it was something that all the kids liked doing.
Yeah, it was.
And I even, seemed like a really cool mom.
Even the two-year-old was getting in on
it. Yeah, and it was so funny. And so I felt like I really did leave that one moment thinking, you know what? That's good. I did something right for once this week besides watch TV.
I had a proud dad moment, and you are included with the proud mom moment too. Is our son is now in Cub Scouts, and the Cub Scout master had set a goal for October that if you have memorized the Scout law and told it to him without making any mistakes, he would buy you, you know, a $5 Little Caesars pizza. And so, and Grayson's been what in Cub Scouts for less, maybe a month,
2 months,
a couple months.
Started in August.
Well, but he didn't go until later. But he didn't. Once he found that out, he worked so hard by himself. Like
Do you think it's because it was a competition?
It could have been.
Like you get a prize.
But he worked, and then he just boom. He knows it by heart now. Really well. And so for Cub Scouts, he passed it off and then he went and he got his pizza. And so it was a good moment.
Which is so funny because he memorized that like immediately.
Like,
and I was
in
thinking,
like 2 days he memorized
it. Yeah. And I was thinking, man, he's got daddy's memory because this guy's memory is insane. He can remember anything, but it has to be like random stuff.
Right. I'm good at remembering random things. True.
And then, so I was all proud of our son's memory. And then all of a sudden today, he was trying to remember a spell from Harry Potter. And by the end of the day, I was like, just stop asking me. Because, well, it was locomotor.
Locomotor mortis.
Locomotor mortis. The one where they lock your legs together.
Curse, the leg curse.
Yeah. Leg. And so, and our kids are just totally obsessing over Harry Potter right now. And he had a wand.
Which is cool.
And yeah, I love it. And he memorized the Wingardium Leviosa. So he's doing that one all day, but for some reason, he could not remember.
Locomotor mortis.
And seriously, he'd be like, what's that spell again? And I was like, just say the other one.
So
seriously, by the end of the day.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a little...
Yes.
It wore thin quickly.
But, well, and it's interesting because he also memorized the Scout Law so easily, but he also has a hard time remembering people's names.
He's like, he's like,
what's that
person? Random stuff.
What's that person's name again? So like, yeah, like me, like
mom.
It's your sister, dude. But no, and also Grayson also had to design a pumpkin for school tomorrow. And not a carving one because they didn't want the pumpkins rotting. So he had to paint something. But it had to relate to a book that they could read to their class. And so Grayson picked Digimon.
Which kills me because I just talked about how I hate commercialized books.
Yes.
And of course, the only ones you want to do is like Pokemon, Digimon. I'm like, come on.
So he picked Digimon and made a character from Digimon. And he painted it and designed it himself. And he did a great job.
He did. I was proud of him because we've mentioned that sometimes he's really hard on himself. But this time he really took initiative and did it all by himself, and he liked what he completed.
Yeah, which was...
I was so nervous.
Which was nice, yeah.
And at the end, he was like, does this even look like... The character's name's Coromon. And I thought, oh, here it comes. He's going to be like, it's terrible. But I was like, no, it looks great. And he's like, I think so, too. I was like, yes!
Like, yay! Ah! Good self-confidence moment.
I know, we've had some great moments.
So, but that's it.
I have one more story.
Oh,
I didn't tell you I was going to share this.
You're dragging this out.
Oh, what? Barely. So.
Uh-oh.
Last night.
Oh, okay.
We were being intimate.
Oh, yes.
And for the first time ever. Ever, ever. We had a kid walking on us. Sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. It's gross sounding, but. It was awkward.
Well,
luckily it was the 4-year-old.
Luckily it was the 4-year-old, and so she didn't really understand what was going on. But we finally had that moment.
But it felt like a horror movie because we were like, well, being intimate.
We were in the moment,
and then all of a sudden we hear this, like the door opening, and then there's light in our room, and I didn't see anything.
Well, my back was to it, so
gross, don't get detailed. Anyway, and so I didn't see anybody, and I was like. Hello? And then all of a sudden you just see this shadow, like, walk into the room. I don't think she saw anything, but still it was like...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was too much information, but every parent goes through that.
Every parent out there is like, oh, I remember that moment! Or they dread that moment.
Yeah, it was horrifying because I'm a very reserved person, and so it was like, ah! But really, I don't think she saw anything.
But
it was just horrifying.
But in relation to that moment that happened, it kind of relates to our topic of the night.
Kind of.
Well, in the aspect that our topic of the night is talking to your kids about sex, and so
just kidding.
Oh, so embarrassing. But no, how it's important to. Especially in this day and age, to talk to your kids about sex. So we found this article on Power to Charge. Change. Sorry. Power to Change. Power to Change.
Charge!
.com. And it's kind of like a family website. And there's this article that we enjoyed reading about talking about sex with your kids. And so we're going to go over it briefly, and of course we'll put the link in our show notes so you can read the whole article for yourself. But we're going to peruse through it and give you our thoughts and opinions, and then we'll call it good.
Okay. We said we weren't going to read stuff this time, but I just want to read this one thing.
Okay.
Because this is why we're doing it.
We're not going to read it verbatim, but we'll read something.
Yeah. Because this is the reason why we picked this one. It says, we cannot stick our heads in the sand and hope our kids will develop healthy sexual attitudes and behaviors on their own. They live in a sex-saturated society that screams its messages at them. Everybody's doing it. Whatever feels good for you is right. There are no consequences. And I feel like I see that all the time. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, like, just watching the CW, like their teen shows.
Yeah.
It's horrifying. And so this is...
You didn't read the last part of it.
Oh, sex before marriage is not only okay, but expected.
Yeah.
So now teens feel like it's expected to have
sex. It's a normal thing. And we are believers in that you wait until you're married. So that's a good thing. But yeah, it's society's telling you that you should, you know, don't you want to ride the bicycle before? Or test? Well, you know how people are like, don't you want to test drive the car before you buy it or something like that? And it's a horrible analogy, but people say things like that. And the answer is no. So the first category, or I guess the first part that they talk about, is to just be brave to talk to your kids about sex. They, you know, and to not, it says that, you know, not everyone is fully comfortable talking about the discussion because it can be awkward, even if you're sexually comfortable with, you know, talking about sex in general, but it can still be, it could be a little uncomfortable at times if it comes up with your kids, because sometimes it throws you for a loop and you're like, whoa. But you want to be the first person to talk to your kids about sex. And they go on to talk about how if you're, that's in the next part, it says that, but that kids are at a younger and younger age are learning about sex from the world or their friends or TV. And so the get brave part is you want to be the first person to tell them about what sex is and what sexuality is.
Right. Right. The second part is that these talks should be natural and gradual because, like, think of every movie you've ever seen. They say, is it time to have the talk?
The talk.
And we're talking about teaching our kids is just one giant sit down and let me lay it all on you talk and that's it. Let's never talk about it again. But they're saying if you want your kids to be healthy sexually, then they need to be constantly, maybe not constantly, but gradually.
Well, whenever it comes up, like they like mention, like if they see something or they're exposed to something, or, you know, to talk about it right away. And, you know, when the situation presents itself to talk about it, that you should, it shouldn't just be a one time go.
Right. Right. And I don't know. I think about our kid who I've mentioned a long time ago that there was a kid in his class that was talking about pornography.
In first grade.
And so I feel like, for me, this is super important to me, that I want to be the first one want us to be the first ones that he hears any of this from.
Yeah.
That we can kind of set the stage for his mentality.
We want to be the information source for him. So, like, when he has questions, he knows, oh, I can go ask mom and dad about this because they're open about it.
Which is hard because before we even started this, we were role playing.
We were kind of role playing, like,
to each other what we'd say, and both of us were like stuttering and.
It's like, oh man, would we say that? Like I said previously, it's even role playing with your spouse about what you would say, even that felt a little uncomfortable. But then we're like, no, we need to be forward and, you know, blunt, but in a good way, and tell them about, you know, what it is. So
right. So that's hard.
So the next part talks about,
I love this,
something
one
that you can do a little bit different. It says to create a rite of passage experience. So instead of sitting down in the living room looking really awkward at each other and having the talk, they said that make it an exciting, you know, experience and event. Take, you know, you and your spouse, take your son or daughter out for a date, you know, go to dinner or maybe go do a fun activity, do something. And then afterwards, you know, talk to them openly and freely about and make it a good thing. So often parents and or culturally we're like, oh, talking to kids about sex is taboo and we shouldn't talk about it. But it's just like, make it a big event. Be like, yay, we're going to talk to you about sex because it's important, and it's important that you know the right things about it, because society and the world will tell you obscure, twisted versions of what sexuality and sex should be.
Well, and their point about making it a rite of passage is that you're making it feel special to them, and you're already setting the boundary, like, you know what, this is totally a chill thing to talk about. Come to us anytime.
Yeah.
Like, it's make it a party.
Exactly.
Something that I loved is we were watching some videos on how to talk to your kids about sex, and one of the guys was talking, the host of it was saying that for some reason we treat sex like this little
separate thing
in our lives that we keep like hidden and locked up. But he was saying, instead of it being like, it's part of us, it's part of our biology.
Yeah. Well, like he mentioned, like, how easy is it to talk to your kids, like, don't do drugs and don't drink alcohol, you know, because it does this and this and this to you. But for some reason we just have in the corner over here, like, oh, there's the sexuality and the sex talk.
Yeah, it's not awkward to talk about other things that our kids might do.
Yeah.
Or that they shouldn't do. But for some reason, we make it this separate thing. And he was just saying how it's natural. Like, we all have sexual body parts in it. You know, we all eventually do it.
It's part of who we are.
And I love that we need to teach it as it is you. Like, that's you. You're going to have these feelings. It's normal. It's natural. It's healthy. And just how you use those feelings is what's important. But that kind of comes later. But I just loved the visual of, like, we need to stop making it something separate. Yeah. It really hit me. Next thing is assume they know more than you think. And that's a little terrifying.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So it talks about, like, you know, don't wait until your kids are 11 and 12 or in junior high to finally start talking to them about sex and what it is, because at that age they probably know way more than you've given them credit for.
Well, and we are laughing at this because we're like, junior high? Yeah, at that point we're already cracking dirty jokes and you know, joking, talking about it, even though I mean, I joked about it, but I probably didn't really know what I was saying. But I knew enough to know it was something.
But you talked about it.
Right.
Because,
oh yeah,
one, you're going through puberty and your hormones are going crazy. Ugh, and so you're just like, yeah, woo.
I can talk about this.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah, so they're saying your kids know more than you think, but they also don't have a perfect knowledge. They probably are misunderstanding what they're seeing or hearing, and we all know movies portray it all wrong generally. So our job is to tell them, let's see. Sorry, is this one about the puzzle? Yes, I like that. Kids have a lot of pieces of the puzzle, but they're just fragments. And it's our job as parents to help them put that puzzle together so it makes sense. And to teach them in a way that reflects your family's values.
Yeah, and it says, be frank, but be appropriate, of course. You know, you don't, because you don't want the media teaching your children about what it is. You want you, but you need to be forward and blunt with them. And not
my thing is
awkward.
Well, yeah, just I remember reading like a Q&A on how to do it, and not how to do it, but how to discuss it. And they're just saying, like, be sure not use personal experiences. You know, like when me and your dad get together. You know, like
that would be awkward.
That would be so awkward.
Like, gross, mom.
So anyway,
model healthy sexuality. So this is just saying, be, you know, you and your spouse should have a healthy sexual relationship, and they should see that, like it says, the kids should see the sparkle in your eyes when you're having fun together. They should see you holding hands, hugging and kissing and those things. And, you know, they shouldn't walk in your bedroom in the middle of the night.
'Cause someone didn't lock the door.
Whoops. But it said you need to be a good, healthy sexual role model, but there's also a bad side to that. If you're not setting a good example, the example they used is, you know,
the therapist that wrote this.
They said, I've spoken to far, far too many boys whose first experience to sexuality came from when they discovered...
Exposure, not experience.
Oh, exposure, sorry. First exposure to sexuality came when they discovered their dad's Playboy collection under their bed, the dad's bed. And so, and this therapist is the one talking about this. He's like, so many people like have unhealthy sexual role models because they're saying one thing but doing something opposite, you know, kind of being the hypocrite.
Well, and I like, really the point is, I mean, you don't need to be like making out with your husband so your kids know that you're...
I like to make out with my wife.
Yeah, you're good to go in that area. But he's even talking about like flirting with your spouse or, you know, little kisses and things like that, just so they know that you have that love bond. That's what I took it as.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like, let them know you're sexual.
No, you know, no. Just... The best way to show your children that you love them is to love their mom.
I've heard that quote.
Yeah. So.
Your smile is cute. Last one. Value transfer is critical. And this one, they just talk about how, like, even when they teach it at school, they're really teaching the technical side. Like, this is how it works, and bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, here are the male parts, the female parts, and this is how babies are made. Yeah,
but they said the problem is that that the values of sex are not being taught generally at school. Or really, they don't teach that at school.
No, they don't.
Things like, you know, waiting till marriage or how to treat the
opposite sex.
Yeah. And so they're saying that we are the ones in charge of teaching our kids the value side of sexuality. And they even suggest that parents of same sex, like moms with daughters and dads with their sons, should explain the technical details to the child. And then they said, but then you switch. So your moms take your sons out for dates. And dadders.
So that the sons can understand
how to treat a woman.
How to treat a woman. You know, the mom should teach them, you know, hold the doors open, be respectful.
Yeah, and then dads take your girls out and treat them like princesses.
Treat them like a princess so that the bar is set high so that they will find a boyfriend or a husband that meets that expectation rather than lowering their expectation and finding someone that doesn't treat them as well.
Yeah, and he said, so the author said, I can't stress this enough. I've worked with young people for over 18 years now. I've seen so many kids getting into the teen years with skewed values and skewed values concerning the opposite sex. Instead of respect, their attitude is one of taking. What can I get out of this person that will make me feel good? This is the perspective that the media promotes. So kids grow up thinking that that's how it is.
Yeah, so you need to set the example of that, because I remember being a teenager or, you know, seeing the situations where boys treated girls poorly and all they wanted to do was, you know, I don't care about her. I just want to, you know, make out with her or something right. like that. And that's a horrible thing to have, attitude to have. So we need to teach our children not that.
Right. And I think that's something we've heard in every marriage class that we've gone to in our little, we've mentioned we're going to a marriage class, and is every week, whatever we're studying, they always talk about how almost every problem that comes in a marriage is selfishness. And you see that even in sexuality, like if you're in it for selfish reasons, then you're like, it's just not going to work out.
Yeah.
So that's what we should be teaching our kids.
So that's the article, and we will have the link to it in our show notes, so you could definitely check it out. But that's it. So thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at The Clown Car, and email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com as my wife coughs and dies over here. But make sure you subscribe. Subscribe! Rate! Review our show on iTunes, and until next time, enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.